Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Karen Chung, so excited to have you on today. How's everything going in your world?
Amazing. Thank you so much for asking, and thank you so much for having me on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was telling you before we hit record that you're one of these folks, and I'm two for two today, because my last guest that I interviewed earlier today, I could have talked to him for 3 hours, and I know that you and I could talk for at least 3 hours, but we're not going to do that today. But I get pitched hundreds of times a month for guests, and I'm very selective just because, you know, it's my show. I can be selective, right?
Yeah, of course.
Why not? I only release 2 episodes a week. If I wanted to up that, I could, you know, open it up to more people. But your whole work is all about frequency. And that is like my favorite topic. But I love, I love when you go to your website, at the very top of it, you say, happiness, inner peace, abundance, fulfillment, empowerment. It's not a state of mind. It's all frequencies.
That's right.
So for the audience, our guest today, Karen, she is an international transformational speaker, writer, champion for self-empowerment, and healer who has worked with thousands of people worldwide. So I'm going to let you talk about the rest, because in your 20s, you talk about that you had an experience that kind of catapulted you to where you are today. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So I feel like everybody who's on a spiritual journey, or at least an exploration into what is the unseen, or what are the forces that create what we think are physical and solid and real, all that stuff starts usually with some form of a crisis, right? That's my experience anyway, right?
Yep.
So whether you have a health crisis, a divorce, a death in the family, a financial crisis, something happens where you're like, whoa, everything in my world just got turned upside down. And something needs to change, right? So that's typically what I've observed in most people. So
people have to hit rock bottom, right?
Yeah,
they feel
exactly.
Like it's a bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's funny how the universe does that, because it really takes you on this journey where you're kind of like taken to your knees and you have to choose a different path, because if not, you would just, you know, comfortably continue down the same path that you were on before, which, you know, sort of was working and mostly wasn't, right? So for me, it was a health crisis. That was the beginning of what started my journey. So for me, I had, if you've ever had a mosquito bite, like on your knuckle or on the back of your knee or something, it kind of just drives you nuts because it's itching all the time. Well, I had that from underneath my chin all the way down to my ankles. And so we were living, my husband and Chris and I were living in New York City at the time. And I was just like scratching myself like at night all the time. And I'd wake up with my skin weeping, and it was just really horrible.
My goodness.
Yeah. And so I got to the point where I wasn't sleeping and just was at my wit's end. Literally was starting to have thoughts about taking my life because I didn't think I could handle it anymore.
Sure.
And my husband also couldn't watch the person he loved the most sort of deteriorate at this really rapid rate. And so anyway, it led me to this acupuncturist. Now, I had been seeing acupuncturists, by the way, in New York City. I wasn't just lying there in this like, you know, puddle of despair, not doing anything. I was going to see different specialists and all that stuff, but it wasn't helping. So finally, Chris said to me, this is my husband, Chris, said to me, I really think that you should give the acupuncturist who saved your aunt's life a call. And this acupuncturist lived, you know, all the way in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which was, you know, I was in New York City. So this is like a very huge world away. And so, you know, within 5 weeks of seeing him, I went from a very hot mess to what I look like now. And that was the beginning of the question, like, what is there beyond the scene that's creating what I think is solid and real and immovable, really? And it's prompted like a 25-year plus search. And the next sort of big catalyst for me was, you know, I've been on this 25-year journey, like most of us, you know, we're exploring. I'd gone through the world of personal development. I was exploring all these different energetic modalities, looking into different spiritual traditions, you know, just curious, as we all are when we're starting to explore and wonder what else is there beyond what we can see. And I remember at that time, I'm somebody who's kind of intense and I'm an implementer, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm learning all this cool stuff. Let's see what happens. Does it work? I mean, they all say it works, right? So let's see what happens when it works. Does it work in my world, you know? And so I'd be implementing all this different stuff. And at the time, we, Chris and I were real estate agents in San Francisco. So we were helping people buy and sell homes. And from the outside, it looked really glorious, right? So here we are, one of the top producing, you know, real estate teams in the city. Our referral rate is like 90%. So we love our clients. We don't work with douchebags. We only work with nice people because we could make that choice to work with nice people. And, you know, we were traveling a lot. You know, we lived in this amazing place. And yet, for me personally, there was something that I would say was seriously wrong because I was always worried about how much we had left. So I was always spreadsheeting how many months we had before we had to sell our house and move in with my parents. I don't know why that was such a horrible end goal, but for me, I was just like, oh my God, we really just don't want to go there. So anyhow, and the thing is, I mean, I get along with my parents, but I didn't necessarily want to live with them, you know, in my like mid-40s. Right.
You know? Of course. Yeah.
I don't think everyone really wants to do that. So anyway, so even though I was implementing all this different stuff and we were doing really well, I didn't feel like I was okay. You know what I mean? I had done enough of my own inner work that I was like, this is clearly a disconnect here. Right? Like, this is not okay. What's happening? And so the other thing that I noticed was that I was noticing that despite all the different things that we were doing and all the different ideas we were implementing and all these different energetic modalities that we were using, I noticed that even though we were doing really well, there were agents who didn't seem to be doing as much, not working as hard, not caring as much about their clients who were outproducing us. And I'm like, what am I missing? Right? And it's funny because, you know, when you start to ask the universe that question, what am I missing? Or whatever question you ask over and over again, it tends to respond. You get a reply in some way, shape, or form.
So what did you hear?
Yeah. So I was had come back from a journey that I'd done to France on my own. And I was in my acupuncturist's office, like, you know, one is after a journey. And she said to me, have you ever heard of frequency work? And it's kind of like, I don't know if you remember this scene from the first Matrix movie. So I'm dating myself, right? So the first Matrix movie, when Neo like goes backwards, and the bullets go by him in slow motion, right? And he's like broken the code of the Matrix. Okay, so imagine a much more mundane version of that. Like a woman in her mid-40s, like having a different kind of experience. But really what it was is when she asked me that question, it was like time slowed down. So as I turned to her, it was like I could see every detail of every corner of every angle as I turned. And so that wasn't something that typically happened to me. And so I said to her, no, but I need to. And so that was the beginning of my journey into what it is that I do now. And it's funny because at the beginning, you know, I think a lot of people want to have healing abilities or they want to be on a stage or they want to whatever. I didn't have that aspiration, right? I just wanted to not feel like I had to spreadsheet every single moment of my life, right? That's really what my end goal was. That was really all I was going for. And so I'm just because I'm the kind of person that I am, I'm kind of intense. I was just like, well, let's just go for it, right? You know, like this is like your typical sort of overachiever like framework, right? I was just like, okay, you have homework? Yeah, give me the homework. I'll do it, right?
That's so, right. Because that's what we do.
That's what we do. Like you want the result, work. You know what I mean? So anyhow, so here I was releasing my distortion patterns. And we could talk about what that is in a little bit, but I was releasing these distortion patterns and just focused on that. And then one day, after a couple of months, my husband says to me, have you noticed that you're not spreadsheeting anymore? And I was like, no, actually, I hadn't noticed that at all. And it's kind of funny because with frequencies, when you start to like shift your reality, your perspective changes, but it just becomes your new normal. So you don't actually realize it until someone says to you, hey, have you noticed this? And you're like, oh God, no, I hadn't. But that's such a radical difference between who I am now and who I was. You know, for those of us who are overachievers, we tend to be forward-looking, right? We forget to look backwards sometimes. So anyway, I had this experience, and as I released my distortions, like I said, it didn't have any outcome. I was just like, well, if we can get this far doing this, what else can happen, right? So fast forward a couple of years, and I happened to be sent an email by a friend who says, hey, do you want to check out this retreat that's happening in Sedona? Now, I'd never heard of this teacher and I'd never heard of the retreat, but I knew I had to go, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew even more I had to go because once I signed up, I went into heavy resistance. So my mind was coming up with all these reasons, right? It's really expensive. Yep. You don't know the teacher. It's a 12-day retreat. And anybody who owns their own business knows to clear your calendar for 12 days is no small feat, right? And so there were all these reasons. And I almost sent cancellation emails like I don't know how many times. But I knew enough about myself and about inner work to realize, okay, something big is about to happen. I don't know what it is, but there is like a ton of resistance happening here. Okay, so I go to this retreat in Sedona and I arrive and there's like 100 people in this room and I have enough awareness that I'm like, huh, the topic of this retreat is ostensibly piercing into the absolute. And I had no idea what that really meant. I was like, okay, I don't really know what that means. But I can tell you that in this room, there's a lot of ego mind chatter and there's a lot of like trying to prove how awake I am. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that the resonance of where we're trying to go or the frequency of what he's trying to do is a huge, massive jump from where this field is in terms of the frequency resonance of the field. So in that moment, I made it for me what was a radical choice. I decided to not go back to the retreat. So let me just, for people to understand, like I am of Chinese descent, okay? I don't throw down thousands of dollars, clear my calendar for 12 days, you know, and not go to the seminar, take notes, put stars next to stuff, implement in a certain order. You know what I mean?
Like you're giving us a stereotype, Karen.
No. This is how I was. Like I'm totally serious.
I know, but you know.
But I told you,
right.
Like,
I was listening to you and I was thinking, how much of this is cultural?
Yeah, very cultural.
There's a cultural aspect to it, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So there's culture and there's just like what I've been taught and what I've learned and observed and all that sort of stuff, right? So, okay, I decide, okay, I'm not going to go to the retreat. And I'm like, you know, all my, you know, thousands
after
of
you showed up.
Yeah, exactly. After I showed up, I was like, wow, like this is really bizarre that I'm not going to go back. So I'm like, well, you know, what's really weird is that, excuse me. So what's really weird is that I have 12 days available to me to meditate, which I never do. Like who has 12 days to meditate, you know, with the busy lives that we have?
Nobody. Wish.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, oh, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit on my own and do what it is that he says that we're going to do. Now, I have no idea, Sandy, why I thought that I could do that. I have no idea. And I don't know what put like sort of like brought that idea up in my little mind. But anyway, so the next morning I go into meditation and I raise my frequency resonance. So I don't know how I knew how to do that. I just did, right? So I raised my frequency resonance and I was raising it. And then all of a sudden I hit a ceiling, meaning like literally it felt like, imagine you having all this expansion and then all of a sudden you can't go anymore. And so for anybody who is feeling expansion, you can't go anymore. The question becomes, well, why can't I, right? So I'm like trying all these different things and I can't like expand anymore, you know, in my feeling sense. And so I realize in a flash without thinking, okay, I really have to surrender who I think I am in order to get to this other space. I don't know what the other thing is. Like I have no clue, right? I don't really understand. And that's part of the scariness, right? Like I don't know what that is. And I realize I have to lose what I think of as my identity. So now you've just heard my little explanation of like kind of who I was in terms of like, you know, getting everything in terms of value, knowing my outcomes, all that stuff. So for someone who is very much a control freak at that time to say, oh, yes, I'm just going to chuck my identity is not like the super easiest thing to do. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm
It's that surrender. I mean, anytime you surrender, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Absolutely.
Because of the lack of control, because we're always trying to control things.
Yes.
That we have no control over.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so for me in that moment, I had to, like you said, surrender to a depth that I hadn't had before, like really honestly. And ultimately, yeah. I had to choose that, like, if I lose my mind, really, and I don't remember who I am, and I don't remember anything, and am I okay with that? And I was like, yes, I am. And so the moment I let go, like really, for real, all of a sudden I felt all this expansion, and I lost me, meaning like there was an ego death. Like I just lost Karen, like the identity of me. And I was merged back into the oneness. And in that state of everythingness, I started to laugh because I couldn't believe that I'd forgotten that I was part of the oneness. It's like forgetting that you have a hand. Like, how do you forget? It's like right here, you know? And then I started to, after a few minutes of laughing, I started to cry because I couldn't believe that I'd forgotten that I was part of the oneness. And then I was in that resonance for a really long time. And then I realized that everything was frequencies. And then I also realized, this is not me thinking, by the way, okay, because there's no thinking involved. It's just I realized viscerally that I could change things at that level. And because I wasn't thinking, I didn't question it. It was just I knew. And at some point, I came back out of meditation. Now, I'd gone into meditation in the morning. And when I got back from meditation and became aware of the studio that I was sitting in, et cetera, it was dark. So I was like, oh, that's really weird. So when I got up to pee, I looked at the clock. And it was 9 hours later. And I hadn't planned on being in meditation for 9 hours. And I certainly hadn't planned on that experience. But what was strange was I expected it to go away. I don't know why I did, but I just did. But for some reason, I could still perceive these everything as frequencies. And then, you know, I'm in Sedona for 12 days, right? So here I am on hikes, because why not? Here you are. Mm-hmm. And
it's a beautiful place to hike.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to hike. I mean, why not, right? And it literally felt like, again, the Matrix, where you can put your hand through the illusion. You know, mm-hmm. That's what it felt like to me. And I recognized the illusion is really here to help us to grow. It's really not here to punish us. And then a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in like a few years happened to cross paths with me in Sedona for like 12 hours. So she's like, hey, how about we get together? I'm like, okay, sure. I have nothing else to do, right? I'm late for 12 days. And she comes in to my little Airbnb. And as we're catching up, she says to me, she's talking about something or other, some problem she's having. And I don't know what caused me to do this, but it busted out of me. I was just like, I'm watching her patterns. And I'm like, do you want help with what you're talking about? And she was like, she kind of looked at me funny. And she was like, sure. So I did whatever I did. And that was the end of it, right? And she left, right? Because off she goes. I don't hear anything from her. And 3 days later, my phone starts to blow up with texts from all of her friends who are like, I heard from my friend that you did something to her and it's really making a big difference. Do you think I can have an appointment with you? And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Sure.
And you didn't even know what you did?
No, not. Well, I knew what I was doing.
Okay.
But I'd never done it before.
So
what I had done was I was releasing her distortion patterns. So,
okay, because I wrote that down because I wrote it down because I want you to talk about distortion patterns because I'm like, okay. I want her to talk about distortion patterns. So, yeah, perfect. You're reading my mind right here.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Okay, cool. So I'm just going to cough for a sec. Hang on.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I love everything that you're saying. And, and it's not surprising that, you know, you were just, you were ready, you know, to meditate for 9 hours. I was sitting there, I've been to multiple meditation retreats.
Yeah.
And the first one that I went to was in 2008. Mm-hmm. And my meditation guru, he's a man named Stephen Sadlier. He used to be in Laguna Beach, but I believe he's relocated to Hawaii. But he's trained tens of thousands, if not over 100,000 people worldwide in the last like 40 some years.
Wow.
And we did a day of silence and 5 hours in meditation. Mm-hmm. And the 5 hours went by pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But I knew like I was aware that we'd been there for a very long time. And it was not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I was in a very different place than you, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel like you can get there unless you're ready to be there, and you were obviously ready. And so you were given those gifts. So
yeah. Well, I think it also has to do with your resonance, which I'll talk about too in terms of distortion. So to me, it's all about your frequency resonance. So just for people to have context, so anybody watching this podcast knows this, right? Obviously, if not, they wouldn't be following this podcast, which is that everything is vibrating. And so, of course, if you take something very physical like water, right? If you have the molecular vibration that's really fast, it's steam. And when that molecular vibration slows down, it becomes liquid water. And when it slows down even more, it becomes ice or form or density, right? Something hard. So if you take that same idea and you extrapolate it all the way out to consciousness or pure source or the oneness or the divine, whatever you want to call that very highly resonating consciousness from which we all come and to which we all return, that is vibrating at an extraordinarily high rate that we cannot yet measure with our physical tools. So in order for the oneness to be something other than one, right? So other than this one infinite oneness, it needs to drop in vibration, right? For even the oneness to recognize oneness as separate, there needs to be a drop in vibration. So when that happens, frequencies are formed. And when that vibrational level slows down even more, it becomes what you and I talk about as energy. And when that slows down even more, it becomes thought and emotion and physical form or matter. So the thing is that everything is dictated by your frequency resonance. It's kind of like this keyhole. So, you know, people have been talking about the field for a very long time, right? Deepak Chopra was talking about this in like in the 80s, right? And now, you know, you have Lynn McTaggart and you have Dr. Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden and, you know, all these different people who are talking about the field. So the field is infinite, as we all know, right? All possibilities exist in the field. But the thing is, what gives you access to higher resonating possibilities? Well, it's your frequency resonance, because your frequency resonance is like a keyhole, right? So when it's resonating really low, it's like you experience the same crappy experiences over and over again. But as your frequency resonance rises, however that does, whatever inner work you're doing, what happens is it starts to do this. So now, instead of being this little pinhole, you get to see more of the field of the infinite, and more of the field of the infinite becomes available to you. So you get to experience higher and better possibilities. Now, the thing is, we have these things called distortions, which is what you asked about before. So from my perspective, we are these spheres of pure source energy that drop into embodiment, that have a very, very specific and unique vibration. So that unique vibration is what individuates us, right? It makes you, you, and me, me. But the thing is, in order to have an embodied experience, of course you have to drop in vibration. It's not bad. It's just that you have form or density. It's just slower in resonance. So when you drop in vibration and come into form, what look like layers and 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 layers of duct tape form around the sphere. Now, it's funny to me because sometimes in some of my retreats, some people will ask, is there something wrong with my soul? I'm like, there's nothing wrong with your soul. It's just that you've got all this crap around you. So the layers of duct tape are really a metaphor for a few different things. So, and before I tell you what it's from, I just want to say two things happened to the sphere. I forgot to mention this, which is important. One is, if you ever picked up a ball of duct tape, it's heavy. So if you imagine a lot of duct tape around you, what does it do? It slows your vibrational level down. It just does, because it's heavy, right? And because you have all this duct tape around you, you don't see anything but the duct tape. So you forget that you're surrounded by a pure source energy in all directions around you. You forget that you're infinite. You actually believe that you're limited because all you see is the duct tape. So again, to go back to what the hell is the duct tape? Like, where did that come from? Well, that comes from things like your lineage or your ancestors, right? So what your ancestors experienced very much influences you. And this is the field of epigenetics, right? So they've been talking, right? This is Dr. Bruce Lipton's work. You know, he talks a lot about how what your ancestors experienced, even though they're the 100th grandmother back, right? And you don't know their name, what they experienced very much influences how your genes express and the choices you make. Okay.
Yep. So it's in our DNA.
It's in our DNA. Yep. Right there in our DNA. Mm-hmm. And then we have our cultural distortion patterns or conditioning, whatever you want to call it, your religious distortion patterns or conditioning. Now, it doesn't matter that you were brought up in an agnostic household, right? You might not have ever had any relationship with the divine when you were growing up, but I can guarantee you that your ancestors definitely did. So whether or not you personally received it, it influences who you are. Now, the last thing that's the biggest thing is also your past lives, okay? So that's a short list of the things that impact the ball of duct tape and like how much there is of it. And there's more, of course, but that's the short list. So the amazing thing is that we're actually at the point in consciousness now. It's risen enough that someone like me can work at the level of frequency or the quantum or the level of the field, however you want to say it, to release the distortion patterns at that level. And the thing is, it's amazing, is that once you change things at that level, the lower vibrating order, which is your physical reality, your emotions, how you feel, like what your life looks like, reorganizes around this higher level new experience that you get to have. So that's really what frequency work is in a nutshell. That's what I did with my friend without really knowing exactly how to explain it yet. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are you coaching them through this, or is it just something like, I'm a Reiki master teacher. I don't practice it anymore, but you know, it's, there's no talking. You just use your hands and you know. So is that kind of like what you're doing?
Yeah. So what I'm doing is, if I'm working one-on-one or if I'm working in a group, what I'm doing, well, let's talk one-on-one first, because I think people can relate to that more. I'm scanning the field of the infinite for the frequency resonance that is you. When I find it, which doesn't take very long, then I'm following your higher self. So I, as Karen, don't have any outcome for you whatsoever. I also don't talk to you. I don't mean to sound cold, but your story is actually a product of your distortion. So
that's right.
I don't need to talk to you.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. So I'm scanning for the field of frequencies that's you. And then your higher self indicates priority. Because people are like, well, what do you start with? I'm like, whatever your higher self says is priority. So meaning like, it's not like I'm talking to your higher self. Okay. It's just like I receive it. So when you're working at the level of the quantum, it's not like talking, right? It's much faster than that. It's like an entire package of information comes to me. And so I just know, I'm like, okay. And I just know, okay, well, this is what it is. And usually for a first session, I'll say to somebody, okay, well, it seems to me that this is what happens to you. And this is probably what it looks like. And this is how it is. Does that sound familiar? And then there'll either be like dead silence on the other side of the phone, right? Where they're like, oh my God, how did she know that? Right? Because I've said, hi, welcome to your session. And they'll say, hi, my name is so-and-so, right? I mean, that's all the talking that's happened, right? And so it's not about me listening to your story. It's about me really tapping into you at a higher level, right? Which is what I will call your higher self, right? Which is like, okay, please clear this from the human aspect of me so we can have the most momentum and move forward, right? That's what's happening. So yeah, that's typically what's happening. And then with the mastermind, which is how I work more, actually, I don't give nearly as many one-on-ones anymore, but they're what I call group frequency calibrations. So anybody who's done personal development work or any kind of meditation knows the power of the mastermind, right? So the mastermind is really important because what's interesting is, first of all, it's a microcosm of the one, right? So really, it's the one, right, in different bodies coming together to have this experience. Mm-hmm. But really, it's the higher selves of everybody who's participating. Whenever it happens in time, linear time, they, excuse me, they are coming forward to clear their relationship with the one and to clear this particular set of distortions. And what's amazing is because the mastermind has so much momentum, even if you have a certain weakness, other people don't. So it gives you more momentum to release your distortion patterns more quickly and more deeply. And it's amazing to me what happens because people will say, you know, or write in saying, I know that you had that session with a whole bunch of people, but it felt like you were talking just to me. You know, it's not like we're alone. We think we're all separate and individual. We're not. And so there's this incredible momentum that can happen when we come together in a mastermind. Yeah.
Mm, I love that. Mm-hmm. Do you hold regular masterminds? Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. So I do. So on different levels, right? So we actually as a team really are committed to creating a lot of free content. Okay. So we have our own podcast and we have over 200 and something episodes at this point. And after every podcast episode, there's a free group frequency calibration. So you can access the work that way. Every month I give a YouTube live on a particular topic that's timely, answer questions, give a GFC live. So you can enter the mastermind that way. Just check it out because it's free. Didn't cost you anything. Then of course I have all these different programs where, for example, you can do a group frequency calibration on a particular topic if you want to. You could join my Living Your Brilliance program, which helps you to entrain to the highest frequency resonance every month and move upwards. I have live retreats. I have a mastermind called the Limitless Potential Mastermind. So there are all different levels in which you can engage with this work, but there's a lot of stuff for free as well that if you want to just begin. Yeah.
Amazing. I love it. Oh my gosh. So how has this work changed your life? Let's talk about all the positives. And also, can you just share a couple of examples of other, because I love hearing stories of clients.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's so many of them. It's funny because, you know, one of our clients, I mean, I'm trying to pick one that will serve your audience the best. So I have a client who she is in her 40s and had something like 17 different jobs before she finally found, by a sense of serendipity, real estate investing. Because her husband was a real estate agent and she figured out how to do real estate investment. And she didn't have enough to invest on her first property herself. So she had family members pool their money and they bought their first investment property. And eventually that thing did really, really well. And so she started to build this company, which was like a real estate investment fund, let's just say, and became really successful. So here she is now starting to do a lot of personal development work, right? As we all do. So here she is doing personal development work. Her frequency resonance is rising. But she's finding that even though she's making more money, she's not that happy, right? So she has this house with a view. She can manifest more things. But she's finding that she's really having a challenge with her business partner, actually. She and her business partner are at loggerheads. And they think, okay, maybe we're going to have to dissolve this company. She herself personally feels more disconnected from her kids because she's spending 16 hours a day working. She's working in this tiny windowless room in this beautiful view home because she has to give podcasts and she gets the best reception from there. And she's working, like I said, 16 hours a day. So her life, although looks amazing from the outside, right? She's making a lot of money. She's not that fulfilled. Right. She finds frequency work. And it's funny because she said to me, you know, a friend of mine sent me your podcast like a few months before, but I hadn't really paid attention to it. But for some reason, something in my life changed where it got to the point where they were about to, like, she and her business partner were about to divorce each other, where she's like, okay, I got to go listen to that podcast again from that woman, like that my friend sent to me. So she starts listening to it and she starts releasing some of her distortions. And then she's like, well, maybe I need to do something else, because she's starting to feel like I can start to let go. Okay, this is a person who is this is an Inc. 100 CEO. Okay, so she's very successful. She's like, I feel like I have a little bit more spaciousness of time. I feel like maybe I don't have to work 16 hours. So she dials down her workload to like 12 hours. She starts to join my Living Your Brilliance program. Her feeling about her partner changes. Okay, she's like, well, maybe there's a different perspective that I'm not considering. And she's starting to have a different communication pattern with her partner. So now, instead of like the business blowing up, she's doing her own inner work, right? To release more and more of her distortion patterns. Her relationship with her business partner changes such that they can stay together. And she actually, instead of seeing her business partner as this horrible person that's causing her all this pain, she starts to see her as this incredible ally that she hadn't perceived in a certain way before. She now has, they hire more people onto their team. So instead of working 16 hours, she's working 6 to 8, 4 days a week. The business starts to take off even more. So her business is now doubling. Okay. She's working 6 to 8 hours. She just cut her work life in half. She's now enjoying the view of her home instead of being in this tiny little room. And she's spending more time with her kids and her husband. So all of that to say is like all that started because she was in this place where it felt like everything was blowing up in her life, even though it kind of looked amazing. But when she started to work on herself and release her own patterns, everything started to shift because your entire reality is a reflection of you and your resonance. The more you release your distortions, the more your reality shifts. So that is what happened for her. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
Actually. Yeah.
It's incredible because what I was thinking – what came to me is that you can't change other people. All you can do is change yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is, so for somebody who is extremely successful and also was extremely type A, she has found so much ease, which to her is her biggest triumph, actually, because she used to try to control everything and she didn't really enjoy all the money she'd made. I mean, again, she was in a tiny room in this huge, like 270 degree view home, right? But she wasn't enjoying any of it. So now she gets to have fun with her kids. She has time with her husband. She goes, takes herself off onto her own little vacations. But this is like enjoyment, right? It's not like because she's driven to achieve and she's afraid she's not going to, so she's going to more and more seminars. She's like, how do I enjoy my life the most? How can I play more? How can I have my own sense of like who I am? What is my unique expression of me outside of work, which is, you know, a creative endeavor, but what else is there other than that
right.
for me, you know? And that I think is what she would probably say is her greatest triumph, right? All that other stuff is amazing, but how she is, how she feels, how she can be in time, all that stuff has changed, which is an amazing thing. And she's done it. She's done it in like a year and 3 months. It's pretty
wow.
remarkable. Yeah.
That's really impressive. Incredible. That's yeah. really incredible. So where can people reach you?
Oh, so they can find me at sphericalluminosity.com. That would be where
that,
to find me.
Yep. Yep. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would start looking at our YouTube channel because that's where I deep dive into like all the meat. So for all of you people out there who want to know more and more details and how and what exactly and all the stories and all that good stuff, then I would check out YouTube because that's where I get to explain all that. You know, I know that Instagram is like a really popular platform and I get how powerful it is, but it's really hard to explain this and get the meat of it, I think, in a minute or less.
Sure. No, for sure.
Yeah.
So the YouTube, everything, your whole, everything you do, I love that, is all Spherical Luminosity. Mm-hmm. So that's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and your website. So
yeah.
that makes it very easy, but we will put that in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. And I hope that, I just want to say you did a really amazing job of explaining it because it's not an easy thing to explain when we're
thank
talking
you.
About frequency. And you did a really, really great job.
Thank you.
So thank you. I'm really excited for everything that you do. And I'm always looking for a retreat. So, you know.
Maybe we'll see you. We're going to be in Portland in the middle of June.
Ooh, that sounds. Have I been to Oregon? No, I have not been to Oregon. No,
oh,
I've
wow.
I've never been to Portland.
Yeah.
Is that where you live?
No, we live in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico.
Oh, okay. In Mexico. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yep.
Love it. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Karen, thank you so much for joining me. I love the work that you do, and I just thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Happiness is an important thing.
It's such an important thing, and it's a daily practice. And
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with lots of peace, joy, and let's go with elevated frequency because that's where it's at. That's where it's at.
That's where it's
at. Take care, everyone.